Homosexuals have received their briefest boost in recent months, not as a result of having a law passed in the United Kingdom permitting civil partnerships, that's gay marriage in all but name, but they have received that latest and probably the most recently greatest boost due to the release of a new movie, Brokeback Mountain. Brokeback Mountain is a story in which two cowboys engage in a sodomite relationship, even after they go on to have wives and families. Mainstream critics hail it as a landmark film, one of the year's best. It's the current front-runner to scoop a whole series of awards when the Oscars come along. There's no doubt that Brokeback Mountain will take on something of iconic status among the homosexuals themselves. They are flocking to see it, and for a long time it will have a high status within their community. What is of greater concern, however, is the way that this film encourages people right across the board to drop their defences against the evil of sodomy and even become sympathetic towards it. One film buff, Andrew Coffin, from World, says, "Pundits are hailing Brokeback Mountain as having the potential to do for homosexuality what Guess Who's Coming to Dinner did for race. The love story it presents is so sympathetic, though is the conventional wisdom, that even sworn opposers will be won over to accept gay love." The film's Taiwanese director, Ang Ling, cast those who reject homosexuality as old-fashioned, naive, and oppressive. It presents the family in the film as an hostile environment that is so restricting and full of argument and violence. It openly portrays sex between cowboys as beautiful and precious. And there are many disgusting terms we could use in response to that. The Roman Catholic Church has hardly distinguished itself by its reaction to this new film. After LifeSite News criticised the United States Council of Catholic Bishops because they had rated the film as an L, that means they deemed it appropriate only for a limited adult audience. That's two notches higher than their most severe rating of O for morally offensive. Whenever they had pressure brought to bear upon them, those Catholic bishops folded, changed the rating, relegated it and downgraded it to an O. It is utterly vile, this film. It contains about 58 obscenities, including many F-words, 15 strong profanities, sodomy scenes, plus, plus, plus. All perverted. Back in April 1996, I was asked to write an article for the Irish News, and I said then, if gay rights activists are successful in achieving their aims, then 20 years from now or less, we could be facing legalized prostitution, both male and female, the complete legalization for homosexual relations, even with children, legal marriages for sodomites, parents losing custody of their children for disapproving of sodomite behavior, and churches convicted of hate crimes for preaching that sodomy is a sin. Now, I am definitely not staking any claim to have uttered a prophecy back then in 1996, because some of these events already are taking place around us, and if the government and if the social order around us and those in the higher echelons get their way, then all of these things will take place. I'll be referring to something in Canada as we proceed in the message tonight. But in some senses, I'm already 10 years behind the times in my forecast. I'm rather alarmed and dismayed at how quickly the homosexual agenda is being advanced and even protected in law in our country. Of course, this doesn't come as a total surprise to the Bible-believing Christian. The modern homosexual advance is a red light of warning that tells us we are living in dreadful days. Back in the days of Jesus, when the disciples asked our Lord, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" He told them, "Iniquity shall abound." Matthew 24, verses 3 and 12. Today, in our increasingly permissive and promiscuous society, Sin is swirling around us like a sea. Iniquity definitely abounds. There's also a prophetic statement in Paul's second epistle to Timothy that has bearing on the subject we are talking about tonight. Paul said, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy," listen to this one, "without natural affection." Homosexuality is an unnatural affection, practiced by people that defile themselves with mankind. 1 Timothy 1, the verse 10. Now, my conclusion is, in the light of these scriptures and others as well, that the rise of homosexuality today is very definitely a trend that indicates the approaching end of the age. I'm labeling the message tonight the Pink Plague. And tragically, it is the rapidly spreading Pink Plague. Consider homosexuality and its abomination. The first and final standard for all human activity is the Word of God. How do we know how to live? How do we know what's right, what's wrong, what's proper, and what's improper? Well, God sets the rules for all the people whom He has created. We are obliged to read the rules and to obey the rules. And in the Bible, God has a lot to say about sodomy. None of it is good. From its opening to its closing chapters, the message is unmistakable. Homosexuality is unnatural and depraved. Romans 1:25-28. It is an abomination to God. Leviticus 18:22. Leviticus 20:13. It's a sin that closes the door of heaven to those who practice it. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. It's certain to bring upon itself the crushing judgment of Almighty God, as happened in Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah, as is talked about in Romans 1:32, and again illustrated in Jude, the verse 7. Now, with these scriptures in mind, there are many others. The only way you can get past the consistent, united verdict of Scripture against the sin of homosexuality is either to dismiss or rewrite the Bible. Did you know that there are many gay, inverted commas, theologians out there that are doing exactly this? They started off by going into Genesis 19, where God rained down fire and brimstone upon the Sodomites and Sodom and Gomorrah. And they said, well, you know, it wasn't really homosexuality was the crime here. It was the sin of inhospitality. They didn't treat the angelic visitors terribly well. You know, they didn't leave out delicacies on the food that would have been to the angels' taste. And now they've upped it to gang rape, but they're still trying to rewrite the Bible to take out the warnings and denunciations against homosexuality. Fact is, homosexuality is condemned in both the Old and the New Testaments, and in this book, God labels it abomination. Anyone who accepts the authority of the Bible must acknowledge that homosexuality is unnatural, abnormal behavior. We can say with complete confidence tonight that it is not natural for two men or two women to have sexual relations with each other. It is contrary to nature. Men are not meant to be romantic partners for men, nor are women for women. I think of Genesis. Back in the beginning, when God declared in Genesis 2:18, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." He didn't create another man to be a suitable partner for Adam and bring that other man along, as one has caustically phrased it. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. God created our first parents, male and female. Genesis 2:18-24 as well, make it clear that they were created male and female for the purpose of cohabitation, one man and one woman dwelling together. That unit was not to be dissolved. And this truth is underlined by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know, the Sodomite will say, there's nothing in the New Testament, nothing in the teaching of Jesus that militates against what we do. Well, our Lord, underlined the creation order of Genesis chapter 2, when he declared in Mark 10, the verse 9, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." This is the norm, man and woman. This is natural behavior. Any relationship that deviates from this Bible norm can only be described as abnormal and unnatural, and any attempt to break up the divine pattern is sinful. Let's just consider briefly the words of Romans 1, the passage we read, verses 26 and 27, breaking into the verse 26, "Even their woman did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." What could be more clear? Homosexuality is not natural. It is a perversion of God's intended function for male and female. That's Genesis. What about generation? God also created that first couple in the human race, male and female, for the purpose of co-creation. Genesis 1:27-28 informs us, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." One small consideration that should knock sodomy off right at the root, is this. If in his original creation of humans back in the Garden of Eden, if God then had created two persons of the same sex, brought them together, there would not be a human race in existence today. Marriage of homosexuals is clearly a hideous monstrosity. Now they can, in registrar's offices up and down our country, put some kind of a blessing and have their ceremony for a homosexual relationship. Thank God for those over on the Isle of Lewis that are taking a stand against this in the registrars. If only it had happened in Ulster, if only it had happened right across the UK. But they have taken a stand against it, and we are not performing these civil partnerships, they are saying. So they fly them in from the mainland to perform them, if indeed there will be too many in that island. But the registrar's office can have their ceremonies, and some compromised clergyman can afterwards come along and bless those two homosexuals. God will not. Genesis, generation, genes. Let's bring in the genes argument, because they're always very keen to do it. Is homosexuality not a matter of genes? I mean, they are born that way, aren't they? They can't really do anything about it. That's the way they are. Why lambast them for being the people that they were made to be? Some homosexuals try to get around the plain teaching of the Bible with this weak, limp-wristed reply that they are the way God made them. But let's examine the facts. Is it a matter of birth or breeding, of genes or guilt? Are homosexuals born this way? 1991 was a banner year for the sodomite movement in terms of scientific research. Within months of each other, two different studies by noted homosexual researchers hit the headlines as being able to provide dramatic new evidence that being gay was a matter of genes. Now, had they discovered a homosexual gene, that would instantly remove the belief that sodomites chose to be sodomites. That means you wouldn't be able to denounce them as being guilty on account of their deviant behavior. It would give support to the notion that sodomites are a natural minority. And that would be a crucial factor in gaining legal protection against discrimination. It would also, if they could prove it ran in the genes, alleviate the burden carried by guilt-ridden parents the world over of any fault of raising children who became homosexuals. Now, let me be clear on this. Those parents do have my sympathy. Recently, I've been corresponding with the father of one of the two lesbians that I protested against and the Free Church protested against outside the city hall. He only discovered whenever the papers phoned him up and said, "Your daughter is getting married to a woman today." And he has a very biblical background. In fact, the man trained for the ministry. And he told me a story, and he's been corresponding with me. And he's heartbroken. And describes it as disgusting. Said he was sickened to hear that. And our sympathy is with him and with the father and parents of the other girl who happened to come from a Haka. Contrary to the headlines, no gay gene has been discovered. Enough to say, many column inches of print have been taken up with discussing how homosexuality is a matter of genes, but we are still where we started. Not a shred of solid evidence has been produced to prove this notion. Something you can be absolutely certain about. God does not distribute any gift that has the label homosexuality. Jesus himself explodes the theory by what he says in Luke 11, verses 11 to 13. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God is the giver of good gifts. James 1:17 as well supports that. No one who is even slightly familiar with the struggles associated with homosexuality could ever pretend that this is a good gift. In fact, far from being a good gift, homosexuality is really a catastrophic judgment. It's the danger sign put up in the bend ahead. It's the manufacturer's operating instructions printed in bold capital letters warning about improper use. It's like our American friends. They come over from further holidays here with their big hats and their Aran jumpers that they must buy when they touch down in Dublin Airport. And if they're in Scotland walking through Edinburgh, their tartan trousers. Have you seen them? And the baseball caps. Well, they'll probably get a wee Scottish one with, you know, the pom-pom on the top just to fit in with all the jocks around them. And then they look down the street and nobody but them are wearing that kind of gear. But they come over with their 110-volt appliances, curling tongs, hair dryers, shavers, the lot. Plug them into our 240-volt sockets and promptly burn their appliances out. And God is saying here, warning against improper use. Sodomy is unnatural. Also, it's utterly sinful, depraved, and wicked behavior. God gives us the real reason why we have such a host of sodomites across the world today in many societies. He doesn't leave us in the dark. Where did these people come from? Why did they become what they are? He points us to the origin of this pink plague in Romans 1, verses 21 to 32, he traces the practice of sodomy back to a departure from and rejection of the Word of God. And as it was in biblical times, so it is today. Many people turn to homosexuality when in the nation around them there is a widespread departure from and rejection of the Word of God. Once these sinners sink into unbelief, rejecting the Bible, tossing it over their shoulders as their authority, rejecting God as their Creator and Lord, they begin to dishonor Him in their bodies. They abandon themselves, we are told here, to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, and they give themselves over unto vile affections. Notice in Romans 1:26, homosexual lust is described as a vile affection. The Greek word translated vile there, atemia, means filthy, dirty, evil, dishonorable. The vile affection is a degrading passion, a shameful lust. So both the desire, lusting after, and the act of homosexuality are condemned in the Bible as sin. I have a book at home in the library somewhere entitled Sodom's Second Coming. Chapter 8 is called The Dark Side of Being Gay. Brings us face to face with what sodomites get up to. Don't panic. I couldn't quote a paragraph from it. In this audience, never mind any other audience tonight. Apart from should I be asked to appear before homosexuals and give them a lecture. That would be interesting. But you couldn't quote the material. Their practices are so vile. When people learn what sodomites perform with each other, the argument about some biological homosexual programming shows itself to be utter nonsense. Forget the pictures beamed into our living rooms of the loving, caring, gay couple who look after themselves in their twilight years, who just want to celebrate their love for each other and protect their legal rights and have proper inheritance rights like everybody else through this vehicle of the Civil Partnership Act. Forget that. Don't be fooled. Forget the glossy adaptation of a novel that is this movie, Brokeback Mountain, two cowboys in love, sympathetically portrayed, set against spectacular scenic backgrounds. Forget that. Sodomy is nothing less than moral corruption and perversion. So homosexuality and its abomination. Then what about homosexuality and its acceptance? It used to be an underground sin. And homosexuals then were complaining that collectively and individually they were suffocating in the seclusion of closeted guilt. In that closet there was no relief from their guilt, no sense of moral freedom, no claim of legitimacy. Had society been biblically based and wise and strong today, it would have stayed that way. Sodomites would still be in the closet. And I wish they were. But the sodomites have come out, throwing aside the disapproval of decent society, asserting, as they do in their so-called gay pride marches, asserting their behavior with all the fervor of political revolutionaries. They fired the first volley in the infamous 1969, way before most of you were born, but not me, 1969 Stonewall Riot in New York's Greenwich Village. Gay and Pride became their anthem. Gay rights was the banner they unfurled in the face of the world. Now today's homosexual crusaders are right up there in your face. Brazenness is surely one of their characteristics. Romans 1 underlines that as well. And they're announcing their freedoms, and they're trumpeting their rights, as if they're standing up there, and they're launching a liberty bill proclaiming freedom from slavery. What Sodomites fail to see is that by their coming out and declaring themselves, "We are gay," they have become more enslaved to their own iniquitous and lecherous passions. And former homosexuals will all tell you, having got in, they make it very difficult for you to get out again. Jesus said in John 8:34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant or slave of sin." That's how it becomes. It's a nonsense for the homosexual to stand up there and proclaim freedom while practicing sodomy. He is still shackled to those vile passions that have power over him. That one step out of the closet for homosexuals is a giant step towards certain disaster for both the sodomites and society when it begins to approve them at large. Of course, the homosexual is on a crusade to get legitimacy for his sin. And he calls for this legitimacy on several grounds. One is the maths equation, by citing force of numbers, in other words. The Kinsey reports, published in 1948 and 1953, popularized the claim that 10% of the population was gay. If I thought that, I'd buy a house right in the middle of a swamp that there wouldn't be anyone ever get close to me. And I'd buy about 50 Rottweilers to patrol the rim of that swamp. And I can't say that I'd have a helicopter pad in the middle. Otherwise, it would come in once and never go out again. But I need to get the groceries air lifted in or something like that. And I could just happily preach through sermon audio to everybody out there. 10% of the population gay. It's surely quite remarkable that in the 50 years plus since these Kinsey reports, no survey anywhere has come close to yielding this 1 in 10 figure. On the very day that civil partnerships became legal in the United Kingdom, our government, how opportune, released a figure that 6% of the United Kingdom population was homosexual. They are liars. Most recent surveys put homosexuals at somewhere between 1 and at worst 3% of the population. That's 1% too many. Never mind 3. But 1987, British Market Research Bureau carried out a detailed surveying figure, 1.5%. France, often cited by sodomites as having more liberal attitudes towards homosexuals, 1982 surveying, 1.1% of men, 0.03% of women. Active gay and lesbians. National Survey of Men, 1983, reported 2.3% of all males had some homosexual contact in the past 10 years, but only 1.1% had been exclusively homosexual in the previous year. There is no way that the homosexuals or anybody else, any government body or department, can justify the 10% or even the 6% figure. Breathe a sigh of relief. This is merely lying propaganda. And they circulate these false figures because it is crucial for sodomites to present homosexual behavior as normal. That's why they balloon up the figures. If it's normal, then they'll argue it's natural. And if it's natural, how can it possibly be wrong? It's almost like coming in and tallying it with, say, 10% of the Earth's population is left-handed. And we know there's nothing freakish about being left-handed. Somebody in my family is left-handed. Therefore, how could anything be wrong with being left-handed or homosexual? Hold on a minute. they are totally different. But you see, the game, the clever game, as they think it, they're playing. Of course, we must sadly acknowledge that the ranks of the Sodomites are swelling. But when all is said and done, even if homosexuals made up 99% of the general population, and you know what? They appear to have reached a high contamination level in Sodom in Genesis 19 in the verse 4. Even if they were to reach 99% of the population, the case for legitimacy for homosexuality would not be improved by one solitary percentage point. It is still always wrong and wicked. But they use the Mas equation to try and send out the feelers for legitimacy there. Also, they use the minority identification. They try to link themselves up with legitimate minority groups or communities. Over the years, they've been making every effort to ride piggyback on the fortunes of other legitimate minority groups, like the black community, the Hispanic, Spanish people community, the Christian community. Their hope is that if a collection of Sodomites can successfully link up with the many legitimate communities that make up our society, the sin of sodomy might take on the same legitimacy as, for example, race or national heritage. Minority groups must never be confused with special interest groups that are practicing vile sin. You might as well bring forward and confer legitimate status upon the adulterous community, and let's have a housing estate for them. Or the murderous community, and let's have a housing estate for them. Or the thieving community, and let's give them legitimacy too. Then, of course, in trying to be accepted, they use the media promotion. The entertainment industry, Hollywood in particular, is pushing hard so that homosexuality will be accepted as a wholesome, attractive, sinless lifestyle. And one recent example we've already referred to in the introduction to the message, this film, Brokeback Mountain. And it's all in the hope of persuading you, the young generation today, to embrace it, or at the least endorse it as normal and acceptable for others. You may not do it, you may not want to do it, but, you know, there's no problem in he or she out there doing it. That's what they're trying to do. Take, for instance, the popular TV show Law and Order. Kicked off its New Year's shows with actress Elizabeth Rome stating she is a lesbian. You know, just filter the news out there. Gains credence and acceptability for it. Many other popularized TV programs that openly promote homosexuality and its lifestyle, Will and Grace. Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Queer as Folk, Boy Meets Boy. Even The Simpsons are in on the act. And not to be outdone, even Marvel Comics began a new comic, The Rawhide Kid. He was a straight Marvel character since the 1950s. He has now exposed himself as a practicing homosexual. It's all media promotion. And they do it by association with celebrities. They clamber around every important personage they can who will lend credence to their cause. Politicians, entertainment celebrities, athletes, even religious leaders. And they say that it's important we get these celebrities on our side. I like and admire Mr. Celeb. Mr. Celeb is queer and or respects queers. So either I must stop liking and admiring Mr. Celeb, or else it must be all right for me to respect queers. Clever policy. Big names are paraded before us. Homosexuals recognized and admired for outstanding talents in, for example, the sporting arena, Billie Jean King, Martina Navratilova, or on television, entertainment. Michael Barrymore? Not exactly flavor of the month at the moment. Other non-gay celebrities are recruited to stir up sympathy for their thoughts, and it's all legitimacy by association. But you know what misses the point? If you live by association, you can also die by association. Would, for example, the Sodomite movement want us to associate them not only with Martina Navratilova, who's not out there committing felonies, but would they want associated with homosexual serial killers such as Elmer Wayne Henley, John Wayne Gacy, Juan Corona, Wayne Williams, Jeffrey Dahmer? It's a double-edged sword, this association with celebs. Multitudes of historical figures are outed and labelled homosexual in Britain, for example, this month, February 2006. It's being promoted as the Gay History Month, and the plan is to expose children as young as 7 to these lessons on gay history. This Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Transgender History Month is backed by Scotland Yard and government departments. Metropolitan Police Chief Sir Ian Blair approved the use of the police headquarters in West London for a reception for this LGBT History Month campaigners in November 2005. Education Secretary Ruth Kelly, she and her department, they have understood to be contributing £20,000 towards this Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Transgender History Month. Now, to drag out a famous historical figure and say, he was gay, it's pretty useful. You see, these guys are invariably dead as a doornail. They're most unlikely to rise out of their coffins and shout down any of these allegations or begin to sue for libel. They can't really do very much about it. But the real battle for acceptance is fought within the church. And let's note that, because we are the rising generation of free Presbyterians, and this is something we need to underline. The real battle for Sodomite acceptance is being fought within the church. If they crave for one thing more than any other, it's to be recognized and endorsed by the church. This would really rubber stamp all of their claims, and sadly, in many cases, they're getting it. Gay Christian associations have been formed. An impossibility. You cannot be a gay Christian. Let me repeat that because that's important. You cannot be a gay Christian. A Christian is one who honors God, who will follow His word as they see that word leading them. And to be a sodomite is to be totally anti-scripture in your behavior. SPCK, Society for the Promotion of Christian Knowledge, announced that they would be publishing Daring to Speak in Love's Name, a gay and lesbian prayer book, caused a whole furore. Eventually a secular publisher stepped in, printed the prayer book. Some condemned it as being blasphemous, other bishops said it was a genuinely useful piece of work. The Bishop of Edinburgh, Richard Holloway, it's inappropriate, he says, to cling to a prejudice that dates from the mythical destruction of Sodom in the prehistoric era. Of course, we cannot overlook the effect of the fifth column. Clergy, including bishops, have come out and identified themselves as gay or have spoken in favour of homosexuality. And this term, fifth column, was first used back in 1936 when Franco's forces rose up in Spain against the Spanish Republic. One of his top officers, General Molam, had besieged Madrid from the outside. So all of the soldiers of Molam are outside of Madrid. 4 columns of soldiers they had. But in addition to that, they were boasting, we have another column, a fifth column, within Madrid. These people in Madrid are giving aid and support to Franco's forces, and it wasn't an idle boast, for with the help of that fifth column, Franco's forces swept to victory. Madrid fell. There is already a homosexual fifth column within the church. Its ranks are swelling every day. pro-gay polls in the United States have suggested that around 25% of Episcopal priests, Anglicans, and 50% of Roman Catholic priests are homosexual. A recent study in the Church of England reported that 15 to 30% of their ministers were homosexual. At least one couldn't wait whenever the civil partnerships became law and the vicar in Darlington publicly engaged in a civil partnership with another 50-odd-year-old man on the very first day that these became legal in England. I'm glad to follow that up by saying he has a very small congregation. The first openly homosexual Anglican bishop, Gene Robinson, from New Hampshire, delivered a speech in London at the beginning of November in 2005, and he said that the Vatican's ban on ordaining gay men, that's very much locking the gate when the horse is bolted. They're not going to ordain any more gay men. Well, I suppose if those reports were right and they already have 50% of them as gay, you really wouldn't want to tip the balance, would you? But he said, this Anglican bishop, the Vatican's ban on ordaining gay men was vile, and he said that homosexuals would eventually be fully welcomed in the church, but warned, it may take some time, this is going to end with our full inclusion. We won't live to see it, but it's going to happen. Now, he's right. When the circumstances are ripe, this fifth column is going to rise to the fore and take everything down with it. Did it surprise you that when we had the protest against the sodomites in Belfast, we didn't see a lot of the mainline denominations coming out and raising a voice? For obvious reasons. At the moment it's compromise time. Let's all do an ostrich. There's little or no bold speaking out against sodomy. And if the church doesn't speak out, tell me who will. Let me quote, without vociferous protests from the clergy, there will not be protests from the church. Without protests from the church, there will not be protest from society. Without protest from society, gayness will become acceptable. When gayness becomes acceptable, there will no longer be any need for gay clergy to be closeted. And when that happens, call me an alarmist if you wish. Just how far removed will we be in what is already a neo-pagan post-Christian society from the homosexual shrine prostitutes of Deuteronomy chapter 23. Sobering words, and sobering, because they're true. Let me say that a society can become so sexually liberated that what was once abnormal sexual behavior actually becomes the norm. It happened in ancient Greece, it happened in Rome as well, and both of these warn us, if nothing else, that the survival of our civilization is at stake. Homosexuality and its abomination, and its acceptance, and its aftermath. What's the end result of all of this? Where's it leading? Well, for one, pollution. What worries me tonight is the threat to the family that homosexuality poses. Michael Swift, in an article for the Homo Erotic Order, when it appeared in the Gay Community News, one of their own publications, he writes, the family unit, listen to his words, spawning ground of lies, betrayals, mediocrity, hypocrisy, and violence will be abolished. The family unit, which only dampens imagination and curbs free will, must be eliminated. As a result of the sodomite movement, the traditional biblical family is under attack like never before. I'm sure your parents never believed they'd live to see the day when anybody had to ask what a family was. Seems strange, seems almost silly. You're not likely to have seen the Australian advert done by Toyota. If you have a Toyota car sitting in a car park, don't let me stop you after this meeting taking a sledgehammer to it and turning it into a Peugeot. You know the way they do in the ad. They get the elephant to sit on it, all shapes and everything else, and they belt it into a Peugeot. Now, there's nothing wrong with Toyota cars. Ford have the same problem, and many others too. But the Australian ad was done by Toyota, targeting the homosexual market. The heading was the family car. Underneath it, a picture showing a sedate Toyota hatchback, along with a homosexual couple, supposedly a family like any other, complete with their two dogs. This is the area. This latest legislative monkey play is being acted out in. This is why we have our civil partnerships regulations, Northern Ireland 2005. It undermines the nucleus of society, family life. LifeSiteNews.com posted an interesting article on the 7th of February, 2006. So we're right up to date with this one. Prominent American conservative commentator Stanley Kurtz claimed that he had uncovered a chilling plot for Canada. You know that Canada had a former Liberal government. And apparently that Liberal government, he is alleging, that in collusion with the Liberal courts had been attempting, you're not going to believe this, but this is what they were attempting to do, abolish marriage entirely. They had already caused critical damage to marriage by bringing in same-sex marriage, which is a major step, believe it or not, to abolishing marriage. The next step would be the legalization of polygamy, as the Liberal government had already considered. Kurt says, legalize gay marriage, followed by multi-partner marriage, and pretty soon the whole idea of marriage will be meaningless. He explains, it's like this. The way to abolish marriage, without seeming to abolish it, is to redefine the institution out of existence. If everything can be marriage, pretty soon nothing will be marriage. Think that out. We would be foolish to ignore the fact that homosexuals are doing their utmost to educate, well, from my perspective, a parent, to educate our children. From your perspective, you. But they're aiming below you as well, because they're targeting the most elementary levels. To cultivate the idea of homosexual families in the minds of children. Books are available today that teachers could use as resource material. Daddy's Roommate. Illustrated for children aged 3 through to 8. Has a simple storyline. Here's part of it. My mommy and daddy got a divorce last year. Now there's somebody new at daddy's house. Daddy and his roommate, Frank, live together, work together, eat together, sleep together, shave together, and sometimes even fight together. But they always make up. Mother says daddy and Frank are gay. First, I didn't know what that meant, so she explained it. Being gay is just one more kind of love. And love is the best kind of happiness. Daddy and his roommate are very happy together, and I'm happy too. Other books in the same series include Heather Has Two Mummies, Gloria Goes to Gay Pride, Families, How Would You Feel If Your Dad Was Gay? And that's written for the somewhat older child, 6 to 12. A generation of this kind of indoctrination, and homosexual marriages will be very much in vogue. Plus, give this world a generation of homosexual marriages, and you'll have a bunch of children who are adoptees brought into this sordid relationship. are produced by the other means. But the children who will be the most mixed up kids who have ever lived. And what of paedophilia? What sodomite activists hate more than anything is any mention of paedophilia in the same breath as homosexuality. That's what particularly rankled Bishop Gene Robinson, that sodomite himself, during his recent speech at St. Martin in the Fields in Trafalgar Square, speaking of the Roman Catholic Church's professed intention to prevent practicing homosexuals joining the priesthood. Robinson stormed, "I find it so vile that they think they are going to end the child abuse scandal by throwing out homosexuals from seminaries. It's an act of violence that needs to be confronted." The last thing homosexuals want us to think about is there being any connection between homosexuals and children. However, sodomites are in bother right from the off on this issue. Partly due to the fact that they have always campaigned vociferously and vigorously to lower the age of consent. 21 down to 18, down to 16. And many of them, when it came tumbling down to 16, spoke out in favour of abolishing age limits altogether. Listen to this frank admission from a homosexual. "Nobody is fooled when we proclaim that the gay movement has nothing to do with kids and their sexuality. Many of us, both women and men, had our first homosexual experience with partners who were older than ourselves. We were introduced young." That's what he's saying. How are young people recruited? The gay helpline advertises for the young to call if they're having conflicts or questions about their homosexuality, and you can be dead on certain. The advice you get on the end of that line is not good and is not moral. Our own city in Londonderry witnessed a program advertised in the Belfast Telegraph at a time where young people, apparently who were confused about their sexual identity, were to be housed, this was their program, were to be housed with older homosexuals who I'm sure would be telling them, "There's not a gay bone in your body. You're as straight as I've ever seen. Get out there, son, and get a girl." I don't think so. Stop sniggering. Punishment. Let me talk about that. Because in discussing the aftermath of sodomy, AIDS just has to be mentioned. It may be argued that AIDS is not a direct manifestation of God's wrath against homosexuals, since thousands of drug-using adults, as many innocent children, are dying of the disease as well. Look at Africa! And of course, lesbians are hardly touched by it. But if nothing else, AIDS is a wake-up call. It's difficult to look in the sea of devastation left by AIDS and not think of the words of Romans 1, verse 27, "Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Talking among themselves, even those who support homosexuality admit that AIDS is a disease that has special implications for homosexuals. "There have been other plagues," one of them says, "but this one is ours." Robert Williams, for example, said that sin often has an interesting way of carrying within itself the seeds of its own destruction for those who contract AIDS because of sin. And I'm choosing my words carefully there. For those who contract AIDS because of sin, that in itself is a form of divine judgment. Now, the plague of AIDS is overstated. They've always been talking about the epidemic that's going to grow to such a proportion and take out so many, and it hasn't yet. But there is no doubt that AIDS is the politically correct disease of the latter 20th and certainly the 21st century. Is it the worst disease today? That's the question. Listen to all the media hype you'd think it was. Somebody asks you tonight to name a disease that is reaching crisis proportions, that often ravages people in the prime of life, that doesn't discriminate on grounds of race or gender, and that suffers from a lack of government funding. You might think of AIDS. But the correct answer is, what is the worst disease? Cancer. Maura Karen reports, in the 10 years since the AIDS epidemic began, about 120,000 Americans have died from the disease. During the same period, 40 times that many have succumbed to cancer. Heart disease kills 5 times as many as AIDS in a single year. To put it all into perspective, AIDS-related deaths are not even in the top 10 killers. AIDS is number 11 behind cancer, heart disease, diabetes, liver disease, and another list. But more government money is poured into it than any other illness. AIDS research funding is already 10 times that of cancer on a per-death basis and 20 times on a per-patient basis. Why? Because it's the politically correct disease. Persecution. Acceptance for homosexuals quickly leads to intolerance. They say, we are the intolerant ones. Where do you see when they get into a place of real position and authority and power? Where do you see in a few years when they start pushing the government to bring up this guy in a hate crime? It's happening already. But there'll be a higher incidence of it as the months and years go by. So, the aftermath of sodomy, the wreckage of the family unit, that's one of them. Moral corruption and pollution is another part of the aftermath of sodomy. An increase in paedophilia, AIDS, the wrath of God. Are we not concerned about this? We certainly should be concerned. Homosexuality, it's abomination, acceptance, aftermath, briefling, it's avoidance. Homosexuality and its avoidance. We need to stand up and speak out. When sodomites stride out of the closet and badger for what they call gay rights, we need to stand up and speak out against them. Now, in the language of today, any individual who doesn't support or encourage the homosexual lifestyle as being a healthy, upbeat, proper alternative sexuality for personal and public life, you're branded homophobic. Speak out against them immediately. You're a bigot. Even a mentally ill homophobe. Fact is, and this would come under aftermath, homosexuality leads many right into the mental institution because the guilt is so great. One was met on outreach for a church mission we had not long ago, living in a very obscure country area, racked by guilt. I've been speaking to a former lesbian since we had the protest. She's made contact. She went along to their counselling classes when she was a lesbian. Said 90% of them, if not more, drugged up to the eyeballs, the most miserable people I've ever sat in a room with. There is nothing gay about being gay. It's inherently destructive. But we're taken up on hate crimes. We're homophobic. If we dare speak a word against it, but speak against it we must. And we have a right to. Their actions affect us. The impact upon our families, as Wallace correctly said, no man is a sexual island unto himself. Can a homosexual change? Like every sinner, he'll have no desire to change. Like every sinner, they'll have great difficulty in changing. Like every sinner, they'll have an immense battle against the depravity of their heart and mind. It is difficult. Only the message of the cross, the one they most hate, can do anything for them. What can wash away their sins? Nothing. Nothing that is but the blood of Jesus. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, David said in Psalm 51, 2, 3 and 7. Some words found in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Shout from the housetop. the fact of homosexual conduct may be changed. That again disproves the fact it's a matter of the genes. Because if you're just acting out the way you're made and the way you're wired, then you couldn't change. Nothing could change you. I read an article, I'm going to have to check it out and find resources that give the proof to it, but one was claiming there are near enough as many former homosexuals in the world today as there are homosexuals. Can they change? Of course they can change. Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor diviners, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 11. Homosexuals not only can change how they respond to these abnormal desires, but by the grace of God, they do change. I talked about the former lesbian who has been in contact with me. If you check out our website, SermonAudio.com, doing a bit of advertising here, why not? You've given me a platform, can't I do that? SermonAudio.com/Ian Bryan. Did you get that? Write it down. SermonAudio.com/Ian Bryan. On that site, you'll find 5 items about homosexuality, but you'll find that against one of the messages, a guy from Switzerland has signed both the guest book on the site and also one of the sermons, saying how the Lord has delivered him from homosexuality. He is rejoicing in God's grace. What should we do? We need to recognize sodomy as sin, not merely a sickness. We need to be guarding ourselves carefully. We need to speak out against this evil behavior. We need to pray for homosexuals and other sinners that they will repent of their sin and seek the Lord. The sodomite needs salvation for him or her. Jesus Christ is the only answer. The only hope, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18. Thank you for listening.